Welcome to the Career Booster Podcast by Grantham University. Whether you're looking for a new job or seeking that promotion, Grantham University's podcast will feature topics perfect for the career seeker and the established professional alike. I'm Brad Erpelding, and today's show is part one of two about using your military experience to get your next job. We'll be hearing from Jeremy Bell, Associate Director, Talent Development and Career Services, Doug Dimler, Career Service Coordinator, and Raylene Jones, Career Service Coordinator, about basic resume structure, tips and tricks to polish your resume, and how to move from the federal resume to a civilian resume, and much more. Let's get started.
When we talk about putting together a resume, what is really the purpose of a resume when we think of transitioning into a new position?
Jeremy, that's a good question. What we usually talk about is just getting the interview. That's what your resume is really for, is getting that interview. Mainly what we talk about with that is making sure that in the civilian area that you have everything that you need on your resume that's not filled with like your federal resume. It's not filled with a lot of things that you put on there. It's just short and succinct and to the point. Other areas, of course, are having your key accomplishments and your qualifiers, and then, of course, the skills that are needed for a new position. Make sure everything is organized and readable. It's very important.
Awesome. Really, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, you know, Doug makes a great point that the purpose of the resume is to get an interview, and a lot of our military folks have an issue condensing their federal resume to a civilian resume. Now, the idea is to represent in a broad stroke, in a very clear and condensed manner, the reason why you are the best candidate for the interview, and then you go in detail further of your experience and your accomplishments in the interview. But that first step, it needs to be a very brief overview of your accomplishments.
Right, definitely. I would agree with that. We'll actually talk about that as we move along, but that's definitely a good point. So another question I would have, and Doug, maybe you can tackle this, is when it comes to the structure of a resume, I know sometimes we can have a lot of information on a document, as you know, as previously said, especially with some, you know, federal resumes or even larger resumes. What are some ways to reduce some of the confusion when it comes to formatting and structuring a resume?
Well, a lot of things, if you're looking at an recruiter side of it for a company, they may get 30, 50, 100, 200, even more people per one job posting. So when they go through resumes, they scan through them very quickly. So that information that they scan has to be really shortened to the point. Like I said before, there has to be important facts. Stay consistent so then they know what they're looking at. Once they start looking at a resume, they want it to be consistent. So if you list your job title first on every single job description that you put down, you'll want to do that. And we also suggest that as well. But you want to use clear defined sections, your headings, your subsections, or your subheadings. And then you also want to use some white space in there so they can easily jump from one section to the other and it doesn't look like it's all bunched together. Consider using a type style other than New Times Roman. The one that's popular now is Calibri. So, but there's others, Arial, Tahoma Verda, or Verdana. Those are the ones that are easily readable, easily scanned. And again, recruiters will go through these in seconds. It's amazing how adept they get at going through resumes that quickly. So the information that you provide really needs to be easily readable.
Right.
I have a couple of comments.
Sure, go ahead.
So, you know, Doug talked a little bit about font. When you think about Times New Roman, you can see that on the letter there's sort of like a tail. Those type of fonts are harder to read than your non-tailed fonts, which would be Calibri, Verdana, Century, Gothic. So just keep that in mind, too, when you're picking your font, that you want it easy to read.
Yeah, I think that's definitely useful. And, you know, to Doug's earlier point with the amount of resumes that recruiters are going to get, you know, we'll also, you know, talk about ways to really make your resume stand out, because really, you know, given the position that employers are looking to fill, they may get hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes for only a handful of positions. So they're really going to go through them quickly. You know, we hear anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds is going to be the amount of time that they scan through your resume. So you want to make sure that key information is really, you know, easy to find and easy to read quickly, because you only have a really short window to make an impression on them when they're going through those resumes. All right. So something else that, you know, we want to talk about is when you start developing your resume, the first thing we want to do is, you know, think about what your career goals and interests are. You know, what kind of positions are you looking to apply for as you look to transition? And with that, you know, that is going to take a little bit of self-assessment to think about your interests, your goals, and really what are your overall objectives. And for some folks, that's pretty easy to determine. For others, it might not be as much. So one of the things that we offer here at Grantham in Career Services is the opportunity to talk to our Career Services coordinators to really get a better idea of what that will look like. You know, we offer assessments like our predictive index assessment. We've even done MBTI, the Myers-Briggs, to kind of help students get a better idea of what their career goals are. And once you have those, once you have that target, you know, you really want to think about what you've done within your history within the military or any other work experience that you've done that can help elevate you to that position. What kind of experience have you had up to this point that's going to make you more marketable? Think about what you've done in the military during your career. You know, what titles have you had? What duties have you been responsible for? What tasks have you accomplished? And try to relate those to your overall career target, because that's really what's going to be what makes a difference between, you know, getting the interview and not getting an interview, is how well you're able to really showcase those accomplishments that you've had in your previous history and how you place them on your resume to make you the most marketable candidate. And those are, again, you know, things that we can definitely help you with, you know, here within Career Services, but it's really something that you should think about as far as, you know, your history and how you can relate that moving forward. Some other things that you can use to kind of help you find those is to think about or even refer to, you know, any performance evaluations that you've had, your training records, any decorations that you received while in the service. Those are going to be things that, again, are going to be valuable to you, you know, as you build your plan of action for your career direction moving forward. So think about those things, and they'll definitely be helpful for you. One last thing that I would mention for that is using online skills translators. That's another great tool that our folks in the military and our veterans can use to kind of think about your history in the military and the work that you've done and how that can easily be translated into work in the civilian sector if you're looking to do the same thing. So I know military.com has a great military translator, and there's a few others that are available that we can definitely reference you to, but I definitely encourage you to look at some of those online translators if you have some questions as to what type of careers are going to be available to you once you transition. That's kind of my take on that. Raylene or Doug, any additional thoughts you would have on that?
Well, I know I'll be talking a little bit more about those online skills translator later in the presentation, but I think that's a really big part of the resume when you're transitioning, is really knowing where you want to go, because you need to customize that resume to that career path.
Yeah, and I think the point you made, Jeremy, about exploring who you are, it's best to always talk to somebody about that, because we can or that person that you talk to can pull out some key things that might be very important to a civilian type of position. So always try to use the resources around you.
Oh, definitely. I would agree with that. The next thing, you know, kind of along those lines of, you know, really knowing who you are and what you want to do is once you've put that information together to Doug's point, is you really want to highlight those skills and experiences for those positions that you're looking for. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, we see with resumes that come through is that resume job descriptions really are, you know, it tends to be a list of duties and responsibilities. You know, I was responsible for this, I was responsible for that, you know, these are just my duties. But what recruiters are really wanting to see is, you know, how you can highlight those skills, you know, that are going to be relevant to them. So it's great to show what you've done, but we really want to see how those qualifications are going to be relevant to those upcoming opportunities. So those are some things that you really want to be able to focus on. And another big thing, you know, that we'll talk about is the terminology. Another thing that we encounter on a regular basis, particularly with a military resume, is a lot of acronyms and jargon that may not be easily understood by someone outside of the military. So it's really important, you know, to scan those resumes and really think about, okay, what of this information is going to be really understood by anyone other than the folks who I work with right now? And, you know, how can I either translate that into something that's going to be more easily understood, or determine if this is something that really even needs to be in my resume. So think about the, you know, civilian terminology as you're developing your resume, because that's going to be really helpful, you know, when you apply for those positions, because you really want those civilian recruiters to really understand immediately what the work you've done moving forward. And then, you know, just make sure, you know, again, that your qualifications and skills and things are really on target with the opportunity at hand. So your resume is clear, direction and focus of your resume is really easily understood on that first read. Any additional points you guys like to add on that?
No, I think that was a great, you know, summary of knowing who you are for the resume.
Okay, perfect. All right. So a little bit more on the summary. So as you know, as Raylene mentioned earlier, the summary of your resume, that's really the most, one of the most important things that you are going to have in your resume. And every well-written resume should have a summary statement at the beginning, just to show the recruiter in a clear and concise way who you are and what you bring to the table. No matter, you know, what kind of work that you're looking to do, this is something that needs to be clear, short, and information-packed to show, you know, just what your most related credentials are. So depending on the position that you're looking for, you need to show that you have the skills to meet their needs. And this is something that needs to be brought up very early in the game. And those could be those hard skills. Maybe it's project management, maybe if it's specific computer skills, or maybe if it's certain attributes that those employers are looking for. Those are things that can easily be plugged into your beginning statement to let them know what to expect from your resume. Another thing about the summary statement is it really should be a forecast of the information to follow. So if there are core competencies and skills that you'd like to highlight in that first part of your resume, you want to make sure that all the pieces moving forward will really be able to speak to that information that you intro your resume with. The summary of your resume really doesn't need to be super long. I know you will see some examples where, you know, they can be rather lengthy professional summaries or objective statements, but really 4 to 5 lines of content maximum is good, as long as the information is very concrete and targeted to your career objective or the objective of the position. You should be good, in good shape with that. The next slide here, let me give you just a brief example of what I'm talking about when I think of a summary statement. So, and I'll go ahead and read this out for those who might not be looking at your computer. And the summary example would be: a top-performing network systems professional with 4 years of experience in computer installation, configuration, troubleshooting, desktop support, and network management. Proven network management. Maintenance manager with excellent customer service ratings, currently possessing a DoD secret security clearance. So this is an example of a summary statement that's very clear, to the point, three sentences max, that tells the reader exactly what your main proficiencies are, from your computer technical skills to even some of the more soft skills that would be related, such as troubleshooting and the customer service elements. But those are things that you really want to highlight very soon at the beginning of your resume. Doug, Raylene, any additional thoughts on the summary?
The only thing that I would add is that if you are a veteran, that is a hiring initiative that people are looking for. So if I would add that to this first sentence as well, top performing network systems professional and veteran with 4 years of experience, just because that's already going to put you above other candidates for the position.
The next thing we want to talk about is the education section of your resume. And so what we'd want to really talk about here is just when it comes to a military resume, what's the best way to put together the education section of your resume? So as you can see with the example here, it's pretty straightforward when it comes to information that you should include. So you want to have a succinct, facts-only description of your educational credentials, certifications, and any specific relevant training. So as you can see here in the example, we have your degree, the area in which your degree was received. So you have an MBA, Business Administration from Grantham University. If you want to include your GPA, you can do so. However, we only recommend doing so if your GPA is 3.5 or higher. So if it's not, for some reason, I wouldn't recommend including it. However it is, you're more than welcome, although it is not required. You always want to include the location where your degree was earned and the year in which it was earned. And again, with the year, more so for recent grads, but if you've been out of school for a while, you may not necessarily need to include the year that you've earned your degree, but that's kind of one of those things that is adjustable. But so again, just some to recap some things in your education session, you want to first be able to list your academic degrees, if you have them, including any two-year associates, bachelor's, and master's, include each distinction, even if you've haven't completed the program yet. So for example, if you're currently working on your degree program, it's perfectly okay to say or list your degree as expected completion spring of 2009 or expected completion March of 2019. That's perfectly okay if you haven't completed your degree yet. So you still want to include your degree, but you know, you can just let them know when you expect to complete it. And the last thing, you know, just be sure to include the course of study, the institution, and completion dates again. Raylene, any additional thoughts you would have as far as the education section goes?
Yeah, I just have one thought. So, you know, MBA, most people are going to know what that means when they read it. I mean, all people are going to know. But if the job description says Master's of Business Administration and it's looking for those words, I would add that as well. Master's of Business Administration, then have MBA. So same for, you know, your BS, put Bachelor of Science and then, you know, BS. Include both just because it's possible that an applicant tracking system, which is the software that automatically scans your resume, it's possible that it might not read BS if it's looking for Bachelor of Science. So I would just include both. That's my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree. I think you should spell out the MBA and the BS or the BA or whatever that is. Go ahead and spell that out. And the GPA, if you're having, like say in your master's program, you're having your GPA that's, you know, above a 3.5, and then in your bachelor's program you didn't have above a 3.5, that's okay. However, let's say you didn't achieve that in your master's 3.5 and you did in your undergrad, I just wouldn't list that. I would just go ahead and leave it off of both because it looks like you accomplished that 3.5 in your bachelor's degree, but in your master's you couldn't quite achieve that. So I would just go ahead and leave that off unless they're specifically asking for your GPA.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that, I think that those are good points, is that these issues and situations are going to be they're going to vary. So it's really good to have a conversation with our team, you know, for those specific reasons so we can kind of tailor the resume to your specific situations because it is going to vary from person to person. So it's always good to keep those things in consideration. Move over to the next section of the resume, which is going to be your work experience. So, Raylene, I'm going to throw this over to you. So, when writing a military resume work section, what are some things that we should consider?
Well, first of all, the experience section of your resume is one of the most difficult sections. One, because it's very hard to write down what you've been doing on a daily basis. And it's even harder to pull out the relevant stuff versus the day-to-day duties that may not mean as much for that next position. So it's difficult, but it is the most important section of your resume. This is the piece that is going to qualify you for that next position. There are several formats to, you know, list your experience. A very common one is chronological, which is, you know, you're listing your job experience in reverse chronological order. So the job you're currently in is at the top, then the job before that is next. And, you know, you just have each position separate. There's also another format called a functional resume, which would have your skills based all at the top. So say, you know, you've moved up your, you've received a promotion, but there's a major overlap in your daily duties. Instead of repeating that under both job titles, you can do a giant skills section, list those skills together with subheaders, and then briefly mention the job title and position. But there's also a third resume format, which is the combination resume format. This is the one that I mostly use with my my transitioning military students, just because it gives a really distinct view of the skills that you've earned in each position. So it'd be similar to what you see on the screen here. You'd have your jobs listed separately, and then in the bulleted section, you would group your skills together in subheaders. So that's really my take on the experience section. If you're having difficulties putting that down on paper, please come to us. You know, me and Doug, we do this every day. We'd love to look at your resume and give you our, you know, our advice on that.
Yeah, I would have to agree. The two most common ones are the chronological and the combination. The functional resume is really something that's used very sparingly, but I would have a professional help you with that. I'd have a professional help you with the chronological and the combination, but those are the two that I do agree with Raylene on, that are two of the most resumes that we use.
Yeah, what I would add to that really with regards to which type of resume to use is the functional resume. Now, the reason why it's probably not the most the best choice for your resume is, one, is it really only highlights the skills that you've had within certain areas. There's not a whole lot of focus on the experience that you've had within your work history. So the functional resume may come in handy for those who may have garnered a lot of skills but may not have garnered as much work experience in certain areas. And some other times it comes into play well if you're going into a completely new position or type of field that also you may not have a whole lot of work history in as well. The problem that it poses for recruiters is that they're really not getting the full picture of your work experience, and that's really what they're wanting to see. They want to see the experience behind the skills and how you're going to be able to tie that into the current opportunity. And, you know, it may, you know, bring up questions as to any gaps or information that may be missing or even hidden from your resume. So just to piggyback off of Doug and Raylene said, really the combination resume is the best format to use, with the chronological being a close second in my opinion.
Yeah, and I just have one more note that I forgot to mention. The information that you put in this section should be results oriented. It should be measurable. You should have plenty of numbers to really solidify your qualification, your experience. And on top of that, you should also make sure that you are showing a career ladder through your experience, which is why the chronological and combination are plus, and the functional, because it's not focused on that career ladder, your history from job to job, that's why it's not as preferred by those recruiters, because they can't see that transition as easily.
That's it for today. Before you go, be sure to subscribe to Grantham University's Career Booster Podcast to help you find the success you've always dreamed of. And please help share, rate, and review this podcast so that we can continue to provide you the best content possible.